to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Jonathan Scott, Vegas is on top on NBC Sports Radio, and it's true, I don't like Mondays.
You love them.
I hate Mondays, especially after a holiday weekend and excessive drinking. And it was excessive drinking.
You don't need a holiday for excessive drinking, by the way.
You left off the ambassador of fun this week. I feel like I lost my ambassadorship.
No, you might have to bring it up a little bit, buddy. You're slacking a little today.
If you're driving in the car, Rob, miss, you're late. So I hope everybody had a great Easter weekend. We started early on Friday with our podcast and invite you to tune in Friday sometime around noon.
How much fun was that?
Yeah, it was great. We had Sherry Gordy, daughter of Barry Gordy from Motown. And we're going to have more of Sherry developing new talent and introducing new talent on our Friday podcast. And if you're near a computer, we do broadcast on Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV, at Jonathan Scott LV. So let's start with talking about what happened over the weekend. I liked some of the spreads. I liked the 14.5 points.
You did, and NBA. It covered. San Antonio was a big 15-point favorite. You texted me that morning. You said, you know me, too many points. I'm going to take the dog. And you should have. they only won by 12.
I know. The dogs were good bets this weekend.
They were, actually. I actually was on the dogs a lot of the weekend. I had the Bulls against my Celtics only because I thought the 7.5 points was way too much, even prior to the tragic incident with Isaiah Thomas Jr.'s sister. But the Bulls came out and played great. I thought the matchup was going to be a problem. Rondo on IT is a problem for Boston. He knows Boston very well. There's a little animosity there, obviously, with the way he left. And he plays really long, and that's going to be a problem for Isaiah. And I got to tell you, kudos to him, Isaiah, that is, coming out and dropping 33, 5, and 6 under those circumstances. He played a great game. Unfortunately, his teammates did not play with as much enthusiasm.
Yeah, it was tough. Obviously, when you've got some kind of personal stuff going on, tough to get out and play.
But let's talk about Boston today, which is my favorite day of the year in Boston, Patriots Day. Best day to be. Yeah, the Boston Marathon. Red Sox play at 11 a.m. They pull out a 4-3 win over their Tampa Bay division rivals. And shocker, a couple of Ethiopians won the marathon. Jeffrey with a G. Kiuri was the men's winner.
Really?
Yeah, Jeffrey with a G.
That's very funny.
And an Edna Kiplogat. Also won on the women's side today.
Now, we've talked about movies a little bit, and I think you finally have seen Patriots Day. You've seen the
movie. At your suggestion, I did see it, and I thought it was incredible.
I knew you'd like it.
And it was very touching for me. Hit home a lot. It was sad to watch. It was amazing how Mark Wahlberg showed the intensity of being a police officer, a local, investigating that scene, working with the locals, looking for the terrorists, looking for the two brothers. It was very heartfelt.
And we've talked about movies a lot here, and one of the movies, a new movie for us to recommend is Lion, L-I-O-N, and it has nothing to do with lions. It's the story of survival, a little Indian kid. But if you haven't seen Lion, it's at the Redbox.
Not some little Indian kid. It's Dev Patel. He's a great actor.
It starts off when he was a baby. It starts off when he's like 4 years old.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
A lot of the beginning of the movie?
Most of the movie.
Oh, really?
It's most only later that he's a little an adult? Boy, and then it shows him growing up into becoming a man. But if you haven't seen Lion, I recommend that one. So tonight, we've got...
You want to move over to the NBA?
Yeah, Cleveland's playing in Indiana.
Yes, they are.
7.5 points.
I have 8.5, actually.
Oh, it's 8.5. Better if you're going to take the dog.
I like the dog again tonight. Again, we were just talking before we came on the air. They played over the weekend. That was a one-point game. I want to say 108-107, something in that vicinity. And the troubles that Cleveland was having on defense for the last week are the same problems that they're now having in the playoffs. You can turn on the enthusiasm from an offensive standpoint. I think it's far more difficult to flip the switch on defense. And it showed over the weekend. Paul George and company came into Cleveland and gave them all they could handle. And I like Indiana again tonight. Plus the 8.5 points. It's one of our strong plays.
And then San Antonio in Memphis. Memphis getting plus 10.5.
Yeah, it's up to 11 now. And frankly, I don't think San Antonio's going to have too much trouble with these guys. They blew them out over the weekend pretty easily. I think they won by like 29, 30 points, something like that, like 111-82. This team is so well coached. Popovich, probably the best in the business today, as far as I can see. A couple of young guys coming up behind him, and Brad Stevens and some of the other younger guys. But Pop has been here before. He knows how to win. This team knows how to win. And Kawhi Leonard, you know, and Tony Parker and Ginobili, there's just too much experience there for a Memphis team that is young and good, but is still a couple years away from being competitive with a team like San Diego. San Antonio. Excuse me.
There's Robbie.
Hey, Mr. Mish.
And then, of course, that's Rob Mish joining us.
That's it for the NBA tonight. But then, of course, we move over to the NHL.
Yeah, you've got a bunch of games going on tonight.
Oh, we got 4 or 5 games tonight. It couldn't be better. How about Toronto going into Washington over the weekend and beating the Caps in Washington at the Verizon Center to tie that series up at 1 and coming back to Toronto tonight for Game 3. And you can get Toronto at home tonight plus 30 cents. And I think there's good value there. Yes, Washington was the best team during the regular season. They won the President Cup. Toronto is very physical, and that's how you stop speed. And I think they can hang in there with the Capitals tonight. They gave them a really a hard run for their money in Game 1, too, that Washington had to win in overtime.
But what is the happiest team in the NHL right this very moment?
The Montreal Canadiens.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
100%.
I can trump you easily.
Go ahead.
The Calgary Flames to get out of Anaheim, where they have lost 29 games in a row.
Wow. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that number.
Yes, they get to play in Calgary tonight.
So. Anaheim's been looking very good.
They have, but Calgary on home ice. A local note there, Glenn Gullitson used to coach the Las Vegas Wranglers here in the ECHL not so long ago, so he's a good lad.
What about my Montreal Canadiens?
Canadians.
How about that win in Game 2 at home?
Yeah, it was
down 3-2.
Yeah.
They score the time goal with 17 seconds left, and then Radulov has the game winner in overtime, sends us to Madison Square Garden yesterday, tied at 1, and we just destroyed the Rangers in New York yesterday.
You can't believe how happy I am that we're having Steve Sisolak on a little later.
We are.
Do you know why?
Tell me.
No.
Because he, like me, is a Milwaukee native, and finally I get to talk to someone about Milwaukee instead of Chicago and Boston and Montreal.
Wisconsin, where you can smell the fresh dairy air.
I'm just curious, what are you going to discuss with Mr. Sisolak about Milwaukee?
Something a little more serious than the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, well... I talked to Steve this morning, and I told him your affection and how you say that there should be a statue of him erected out in front of the stadium
before
for his
Raider
work.
Dome is finished. The first statue should be him.
Yes.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that impressive win over the weekend Milwaukee had over the Raptors in Toronto.
It was pretty good.
17-point win in Toronto.
Boy, they had a good lead, and then they let it kind of dissipate, and then they came back.
Yeah.
But there was also a key injury on Toronto, so someone got clipped and left.
Part of the playoffs.
But Greek Freak is pretty awesome to watch, isn't
Greek
he?
Freak is out of control.
Yeah.
I think he dropped 29 that game.
I'm biding my time, though. I'm not holding my breath.
Why?
Because I don't
You think he's going to be gone?
No, I didn't say that. He's got a 4-year deal. He's signed for the next 4 seasons for
$100 million.
Next year. Is the first year of
the
4-year
Oh, so you have
for
really for through the playoffs and 4
right,
years.
Right. I'm just talking about the decades and decades of losing with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Listen, man, you got to have faith sometimes.
I know. Maybe I can learn that from you Boston guys.
You can, and Cubby fans.
Right. Cubs, we've had faith for as a Cubs fan right. all of our lives.
You can say
got a little more hockey. You've got the Blackhawks playing in Nashville.
Listen.
Look
at Nashville. Blankhawks blanked at home the other night, 5-0.
They called them in the Chicago paper the other day, the big old headline, Blankhawks. Oh, yeah. My.
Everyone thought Chicago was going to come into the series and steamroll Nashville, and it's been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Nashville goes home up 2-0 on the Blackhawks, and this is their season right here. If they lose this game, it's over. If you go down 3-0 and Nashville has home ice, I don't see them losing.
And you've got Ottawa against Boston. We talked about them a little
bit. Another great series.
I think your Bruins are in trouble tonight.
They're not my Bruins. I'm a Canadian fan.
Oh, that's right.
That's where G-Man dumps out.
All my Boston guys yell at me when I come to rooting for the Canadians, but Ottawa played a great game against the Bruins the other day, winning 4-3 in overtime. They were down 3-1, scored two goals quickly, and then took it in overtime. Yeah, Bruins fans should be worried.
Plus, their last three in Boston, Ottawa has won 2-1, 3-2, and 6-1.
Ooh,
so they've won three in a row
the stats, Rob.
The Boston ice. Yep.
And what can you get Ottawa tonight at home?
I didn't check the numbers. All I know is I'm taking Washington to Ottawa.
I'm sorry. The game is in Boston.
Right.
Wow, Boston's minus 65 cents.
Love Ottawa.
A lot of value on Ottawa, plus 145.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Nashville is still a slight favorite against the Blackhawks. There might be some value on the Blackhawks at minus a nickel. They're playing for their lives here. They know how to win.
Sure do.
Kane is a stud come
Taze
playoff time.
Taze is
unreal.
So great, yeah.
Hopefully they'll get some goaltending tonight and not give up five goals.
Yeah.
Well, we've got more Milwaukee in sports. We've got the Brewers in Chicago playing the Cubs today.
How about that? Yeah, the Brewers had a good second week of the season.
You know, when
the Cubs go to Milwaukee, it is just an extended home game, home series.
I know, it's all filled
for the
with
Cubs.
Blue. I know, it's all filled with blue. Front row, the Uke's still calling, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, speaking of announcers, have you heard about the new Hank, is it Azarian, his new show?
Yeah.
He's
Brockmire.
Brockmire. Have you guys seen it? I've heard good things.
I heard him do an interview over the weekend.
Yeah.
The voices he does of announcers is brilliant.
Yeah. I heard him on Howard Stern a week or two ago, and he was pumping this, and apparently a lot of critics are really getting behind it.
Well, he's been on The Simpsons for years.
Years. And he does more than one voice.
Along with our friend Joe Mantegna, who plays Fat Tony. I'm feeling kind of stabby today. You guys want to talk about Marshawn Lynch?
Sure.
For the Raiders.
We touched upon it briefly on Friday while we were on the podcast, but yeah, the Oakland Raiders have acquired the rights to Marshawn Lynch.
Is that a done deal?
The Vegas Raiders.
Is that a done deal? What's
done deal?
What they have to give him for him?
I don't think they've announced what they're giving up just yet.
I think they gave him a six-pack.
Some beer.
Or
beer
some,
is
some Skittles, right?
Hashtag
right.
Beer.
He likes the Skittles. They gave him a lifetime supply of Skittles.
Yeah. How do you think he'll be after a year off? He sure seems like he had fun in the year off.
You know, we were talking with Steve Torme.
Steve March Torme.
And he made a good point. He said, you know, the guy hasn't played football in a year and a half. Who knows what kind of conditions he's in? He's past that 31 age number where we know running backs start to break down. He may be effective for a while. He'll definitely put butts in seats. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, beast mode, silver and black. Hopefully we get to see him in Vegas if he lasts 2 years.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I bet we don't see him here.
But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Short yardage, certain situations.
They're going to give him carte blanche. Exactly. They'll give him carte blanche to do what he wants.
All right.
Well, a couple of announcements. Saturday, April 29th is going to be Peace, Love, and Happiness at Big Dog's Draft House at Rancho and Craig. Over 45 craft beers, live music.
You didn't do Happiness.
It's because I'm sitting in this chair. You sit on this. This is the craziest chair. This chair is
happiness.
Like a ride. I know. Peace, love, and happiness. live music. I'm stoked. If you want to save some time and waiting in lines, you can get your tickets in advance at BigDogBrews.com. Again, starting from 3 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Live music in the parking lot and great barbecue food. Over 45. Different craft beers, of course, Peace, Love, and Happiness being the featured beer, and it's at Big Dog's Draft House at Rancho and Craig. Also on the 29th, the Miracle League Las Vegas is presenting their Home Run Derby. It's a local charity baseball league for mentally and physically challenged. Huge fundraiser. Come on out and try and hit some dingers with the kids. Local celebrities, former Major League players are going to be there. And that is at the, Ralph Engelstad Field. It's at the 95 and Rancho, and there's it's $20 I think to join, and it's a great day out with the kids. So you can bring your whole team or come out by yourself. Sign up online at MiracleLeagueLasVegas.com. Jonathan Ogden and the Ogden Foundation, a former Raven, lives here in Las Vegas, announcing their annual celebrity bowling event at Red Rock VIP Suites. Plenty of time to sign up for that. It's not until May 21st. And the NBA Summer League is having their kickoff party on Friday night. So that's going to start talking about the NBA Summer League coming up in May. We're going to take our first commercial break and come on back. What? Yeah, we'll take our first commercial break, come back with Adrian Taylor. Our topic today is going to be relocating sports teams, and we've got Adrian Taylor to talk about St. Louis and the L.A. Rams, so stay right where you are.
perfect intro. They're dancing on the ceiling and they're dancing on the floor.
Jonathan's got back with Vegas nonstop. We had a little technical things going on.
Jonathan
here.
Was just on the floor with his phone.
Tribute to the Jake Isles band. Jake Isles passing away way too early. Big rocker from, what was it, the 70s, Jake?
Yeah, Jake 70s Isles? And
the
80s.
70s, wasn't it? Anyway.
Their big album was in the early 80s.
I centerfold. Want a cheeseburger. Yes, thank you.
Centerfold. My angel is a centerfold.
Angel. I love that song.
That was a huge hit in like 82 or 83 or
angel
something.
Angel with a centerfold. Anyway, heard a little bit if you were listening to the commercials about our wine tasting parties. We've got two or three of them every week. The next one's going to be the 26th. If you want more information, you can leave me a message at 702-883-1111, 883-1111, or send me an email at news1lasvegas@gmail.com, news1lasvegas. At Gmail, or you can do the Twitter or social media at Facebook or Instagram at Jonathan Scott LV. So we're talking about relocating sports teams today, and you may or may not have heard that St. Louis is suing the NFL over the team's relocation to Los Angeles, which is kind of interesting since they've already played a full season. So joining us on line one is Adrian Taylor, who's been on the air with us before, to kind of talk about what this is all about. The city of St. Louis sued the NFL over the Rams' relocation to Los Angeles and is seeking $1 billion in damages, reported Wednesday on Reuters. Adrian, are you with us?
I'm with you.
So why don't
How
you...
are you? Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you back on the air again. So why don't you take a couple of minutes here and tell us your perspective on why St. Louis would have a case, especially after a season has now been played.
Well, what happened on the Rams transfer is that they violated their own relocation rules, and they made the decision unilaterally without allowing St. Louis to have any input on the move. And St. Louis is harmed because there was a long-term lease with the Edward Jones Dome that still had $36 million left on the agreement. And so they sued them because of a breach of contract, because of some tort issues involving an expectancy, interference with their expectancy of keeping the team and being able to keep the stadium going and keep the workers going. And they had also done about $180 million in improvements that were required, and they think that there was a conspiracy between the NFL owners and Stan Kroenke, who's the owner, on transferring the team illegally, violating also the antitrust laws as well. With $36 million on the stadium lease and no team to pay for it, that creates somewhat of a problem. The breach of contract issue comes up because they feel that Stan Kroenke and the NFL unilaterally agreed to move the team when they didn't have the right to move it because they did not allow St. Louis and the stadium complex people in the county and the city to build them a new stadium. He didn't cooperate, and Stan Kroenke, who's the owner, refused to meet with the governor or the mayor of St. Louis at all, and went behind the back of the St. Louis people, got with the NFL owners, and they voted for him to move. It could spell complications for your Raiders move as well, because if the team can file a suit as they did in a proper jurisdiction in St. Louis City Circuit Court on the 12th of April, which was last Wednesday, they filed a suit. The suit stood even after them playing for a year on the West Coast. The Raiders could face a similar challenge if their team is not Vegas.
Adrian, let me ask you a question. It's Jeffrey with a G. Why do you think some of these legal matters were not looked into prior to relocating the team and having a full season played here on the West Coast?
Well, I think what happens in the case of these type of things, you've got political issues in terms of a mayor, an attorney general, law firms. All of the issues have got to be kind of calculated all into one lawsuit. They've got to calculate what the damages are, and they've got to put together the best legal theory. And one of the one of the questions sometimes that you that you run into is, you know, one of the questions that you run into is, you know, where are we going to file this case, first of all? What are the real damages? So, for example, one of the problems has to do with the ticket season, the season ticket holders. They had already paid their money in advance. What's going to happen? Do those tickets transfer to Los Angeles? And they do not. In fact, they do not. And what's going to happen with the stadium lease? How do you calculate that if they filed under a statute called the RICO statute with racketeering, influence, and corruption? That statute awards treble damages, whereas in their particular case, they chose a circuit court and state court in Missouri. Well, what happens in that particular case is they're forum shopping for the right judge, and then the other question is, would the Justice Department come in, which they have the right to ask them to come in and review the case? Why does it take so long? Because all these parties got to get together, and everybody that could bring an action, they need to bring it in the same transaction so that they don't have 50 lawsuits from everyone that could be an interested party. And then sometimes, I think in their particular case, the mayor may not want to go against Kroenke and those guys because it could be bad for his political career. So all of those things are a factor.
With all these, with the story being out there with all these different laws, you would think that the group bringing the Raiders to Vegas would address this now and not have to worry about it after they move here or playing any football here.
Well, sometimes it also boils down, because I was on your show last year talking about these problems, and sometimes it also boils down to who wants to finance the litigation. When the lawyers are going to make a lot of money on this. They've asked for over $1 billion, and that's not any kind of cheap amount of money.
Jonathan here. I have to ask, what is your position with this whole thing?
Me? Oh, you're asking Jonathan or
yes.
me?
No,
I'm asking you,
sir.
I'm asking you, Adrian, how does this relate to you? Are you somehow involved with this?
Oh, yeah, I was involved because a guy named there's an article that was written about a year ago, and it's called Adrian Taylor, St. Louis Rams, Huffington Post. I interviewed with the New York Times and the Huffington Post because back in 2008, 2009, the team was for sale when Fontieri, the wife of the previous owner, she died. I call her Mother Fontieri. Chip Rosenberg is the one of the male heirs to the fortune and to the St. Louis team. At that time, the St. Louis team, the Rams. Stan Kroenke owned 40% of the Rams, and Roger Goodell got a hold of a client of mine, a guy named Donald Watkins, who was an attorney who had previously bid on the California Angels and the Minnesota Twins. He tried to purchase a ball team. He lost the bid, got into a fight with Michael Eisner and Disney, and he lost the bid, even though he made a larger bid of $250 million for the California Angels. A guy named Moreno's bid was $180 million, and they accepted his bid, which had ended up in a stockholder's derivative suit. So when Roger Goodell called him and asked him, would you like to bid for 60% or controlling interest of the St. Louis Rams, I was involved in helping him arrange the financing.
Well, I guess we're just
what I do is I consult guys that are financing various things, including sports teams. So he bidded. Well, he tried to get into the bid process, which was handled by Goldman Sachs. And at that time, Stan Kroenke had some problems with the cross-ownership rules, which would have precluded him from even being eligible as a 100% owner of the Rams. But they were able to work that out, and he refused to meet with my client. But quietly, the NFL wanted to move four teams out of the country. And they needed to do that kind of quietly, so to speak. So if he had won the bid to control 60% of the team, which would have cost him $435 million roughly, then quietly he would have been trying to move the team to England. And that's why you see teams playing outside of the country now, because the NFL feels that the broadcast rights and the opportunity to play for more than just in the United States creates a real good opportunity for better broadcast revenues and for the game to be more worldwide sport like the World Cup.
Well, Adrian, appreciate it. We're going to have to stay in tune. We're going to have to break the commercial message right now, but please keep us in tune on what's happening with this, and we appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adrian. That was Adrian Taylor talking about St. Louis suing the Rams. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby, for waking me up. And
that was awesome.
Yeah, well, we're going to see what happens there. I mean, it's hard to believe that after a year of a team playing somewhere that that they're going to come back and sue and be successful.
It does seem a little not likely.
Yeah, it seems not likely. And a couple of shout-outs, and then we're going to come back with Clark County Commissioner Steve Sisolak to talk about the successful move of the Raiders to Las Vegas. And, I'm sure they did their due diligence here, as they always do. A couple of announcements. Double A Casero Plumbing Company's been working in Clark County since 1982. Has installed plumbing systems in over 6,000 homes, dozens of custom homes, assisted living centers, shopping centers, retail tenant improvements, full-service restaurants, fast food chains, restaurants, sandwich shops, pizzerias. Brothers Angelo and Joe Casero worked together for more than 30 years, starting in Buffalo, New York, and following in their father's footsteps together. Angelo and Joe have over 70 years' experience. That's AACaseroPlumbing.com, a name you can depend on for all of your plumbing needs. A couple of shout-outs. Tuesday, Carlito's Burritos has a new location, 4300 East Sunset. That's at Green Valley Road and Sunset in Henderson. New Mexican cuisine. Tuesdays are two for Tuesdays with two tacos for the price of one. Visit Carlito's Burritos.
You did that so well.
I made it all the way through this time, didn't I?
Two for Tuesdays on tacos at Carlito's Burritos. You did it well.
Two for one, not two for two.
Two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday tacos.
And today's bloodthirsty Monday. I don't know what it is. Today's Monday. I went to Evil Pie over the weekend.
Did?
Yeah, I loved it.
Come on.
Yeah.
As good as advertised?
Chef Vincent's going to be on with us on Friday.
Vincent Rotolo?
Chef Vincent with Chef Sergio are going to be. We have two chefs on our podcast on Friday.
Really?
So it should
be
a lot of fun.
Is he bringing some evil pie with him?
I had the rattlesnake pie.
Rattlesnake sausage.
Yeah.
In-house rattlesnake sausage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be very good.
That was just the girls at the bar. It was a lot of fun. They just opened their outside patio, and that's on Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's Evel Knievel's sons.
Yes.
I haven't met them yet, but hopefully we're going to have one of them with us either on this show or the Friday show. But that was a lot of fun. Wound up at the Sand Dollar drinking things that I've never even heard of before.
Shocking.
I know.
Shocking.
I know. Shout out to my man Kurt for calling the Uber and the Lyft.
Yes, Kurt, thank you for not letting our friend drive.
We're going to take another short commercial message and come back with Clark County Commissioner Steve Sisolak. Stay right where you are.
Bobby rocking out on the board.
I think we should determine whether the show's like a three-finger or a four-finger show.
Some fellas look at the size. And some fellas look at the clothes. Dig me. I don't care if the eyes are red. I don't care if the nose is long. I don't care if she's on the fed. I don't care if her clothes are worn. You know what I do, baby?
Scott, Vegas, not stop. Usually I get a cue, but I'm not going to get any musical cue. So
look,
I think Bobby just wants to hear the song.
Working the board, working the phones.
He just wants to hear the song. Jake Isles Band,
great
ladies
song.
And gentlemen.
Great
Jake
song.
Isles Band. What is it? Heaven is a Centerfold? Is that the name of the song?
No.
What is it?
Look at the purse.
Look at the purse.
Look at the purse.
Yeah, Angel is a Centerfold
Angel's
is much
angel.
Later.
Angel is a Centerfold. What's the one that
Angel is a Centerfold.
Angel
My Angel is a Centerfold.
My Angel is a Centerfold. Big Dogs Draft House Rancher and Craig started Thursday night's music back on the porch starting at 7 p.m. This Thursday, I think it's Kelly Sheehan, but you have to check. Guaranteed great time. There's dinner specials all the time, everything from Wisconsin-flavored walleye to ribs and great Wisconsin kind of food, which is a great segue to our next guest. Clark County Commission Chairman Steve Sisolak, a successful businessman, longtime public servant, active member of the community. People don't know this, but Steve is from Wisconsin.
I am.
And joining us is sports writer Rob Misch, another Wisconsinite.
It's a pleasure to be with you guys. Thank you.
Steve, thanks for taking some time with us this afternoon. Rob brought up the idea about talking with you about what was involved with the actual intricacies of moving a sports team like the Raiders to Vegas, and I guess you were pretty instrumental in that.
I was obviously involved with a lot of the discussions with the Adelson family, I was on the Stadium Authority at the time, and with the Raiders. And we're making progress. We're still not all the way there, frankly. I mean, there's still an awful lot of work left to be done. But, you know, they've adapted to the baby steps here. We're taking very small steps. The Stadium Authority continues to meet, working through the lease function with the team. And they're also coming in to meet with the county staff about a development agreement on the Russell Road site and what would be necessary there. So we're making progress, but it's still a long way to go, and they're under a very tight time crunch to be open for 2020.
We just had a gentleman on the radio with us that is actually working somehow, I'm a little unclear about how he's working with St. Louis, about them suing the Rams organization, which is kind of odd to us because the Rams have already played a whole season in L.A. But are you up on that? Have you read anything or know anything about that?
I read the one article that was in the news media here, the print media, that talked about, you know, they're going to file a $1 billion suit against the Rams and the NFL. I don't know what the premise for that is or what the basis for that is, if it's about the PSLs or what it's about, but I'm not anywhere near being an expert on that.
Steve, this is Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rob. Sure.
I was curious, you've had such a hand, whether you want to admit it or not publicly, you've really shepherded this thing with the Raiders in so many ways and so many steps. Was there ever a point, or what was the lowest point you can recall where you thought, uh-oh, where this might not happen, as far as maybe when Adelson pulled out and there was a scramble going on? Not to put words in your mouth, but what was the lowest point and how did you react to it?
Well, that was the lowest point when the Adelson's pulled out, and I met with Sheldon and Rob Goldstein and Andy Abood in their offices, and I said I didn't know if the project could frankly go forward without their participation in it, because Sheldon's one that came with this idea and shepherded through the legislative session. If you remember, there were no votes to spare on the assembly side and just got through on the Senate side, and it was difficult. And when he pulled out a $650 million and everything else that went with it, I was very concerned, and I told Mark Bedain that, and he assured me from that day. He goes, "Steve, we have the financing." I go, "I don't need to hear it. I need to see that you've got financing." He goes, "Financing will not be an issue. I'll guarantee you that." And we had several discussions. I tried to get Sheldon back into the deal, and they just were not interested. They just didn't want to go any further with the thing. They made their best proposal to the Raiders, and they felt that they were not received appropriately, I guess is the best way to put it. And then the Raiders did come up with the Bank of America financing, which to me does help the project. I mean, it does. Sheldon obviously led a lot of credibility. Mr. Adelson did, with his enormous wealth of, you know, excess north of $30 billion that he could back whatever he wanted to as it related to the stadium. And when Bank of America is coming in, it gives a lot more credibility than if it was, Bank of Kansas, that we don't know and don't know the financial wherewithal. I know Bank of America. They're involved with the NFL. The Raiders have been with them, and it does give me some more confidence. But the day when they pulled out, it was not looking good, I don't think. I think we had some problems there. And at the same time that I was dealing with Mark Bedain on almost a daily basis as he counted votes for the NFL, and, you know, that kind of lost a few there for a while when Sheldon pulled out of it, because he had a relationship with several of the owners, but eventually they pulled it back together with Bank of America, and that brings us to where we're at today.
And with the Golden Knights starting this fall, and with all of the good waves of news lately with the Raiders, obviously the NFL voted 31-1 to move them here in 2020. What has been your vision about the future of the city with the NHL being here, with the likelihood of the Raiders being here, and where that could really kind of maybe take the city?
I mean, where we're at now versus where we're at 2 years ago is just, it's night and day. When the Maloofs came to me originally with the Golden Knight idea, and I was kind of like, yeah, sure, I've heard these projects before and this idea, but, you know, Gavin and George, I mean, they just stuck with it. I mean, they just kept moving forward, and I got to meet Mr. Foley And Bill has been incredible in terms of moving forward. And T-Mobile at the time had already had the arena under construction. And then I got to meet the commissioner, Gary Bettman, and he was shocked that they could sell that many seats or get that many seats reserved for season tickets. So everything just started to fall into place, and it's been terrific. And but for Bill Foley, I don't think we'd ever get Mark Davis and the Raiders here. And it's just an exciting time. If you're a sports fan, we've got the Golden Knights are going to drop a hockey puck in a few months, and we're going to start our first season, and we're getting close to finalizing a deal to move 51 Stadium out towards Summerlin, which is going to really help the baseball team considerably, our AAA franchise, and then the construction of a stadium for the Raiders. And we haven't even talked about the Rebels. What this is going to do for UNLV football just puts them in a whole other stratosphere, as far as I'm concerned, compared to playing at Sam Boyd. So there is not, in my opinion, a better time to have ever been a sports fan in Clark County than it is today. There's so much going on.
Steve, we're talking so much about sports. Can you kind of take us into a little window in your history? What is your one sports claim to fame? Do you have one?
I'm a good sports spectator, I guess that's my No, I really don't have. I played high school sports, which is something I enjoyed, football and basketball, but I don't have a big claim to fame. I'm back from the Midwest in Wisconsin, a little town outside of Milwaukee called Wauwatosa, where I enjoyed playing sports. But I'm just a fan of sports. I think it's a great activity for our youth to get involved with. I appreciate the fact that our schools are involved, but the more people you get involved with it, I think it's just a great way to meet folks. It's a good camaraderie that exists as a result of the different sports, and I can tell you, dealing with all of these entities, these sports franchises, whether it's the Golden Knights, it's the Raiders, it's the 51s, you've got some really, we're so fortunate to have such top-shelf people associated with every single one of those teams that I think they're going to bring an awful lot to this community that we previously didn't have, and there's a sense of pride. I mean, everybody that's here, I mean, I came from, you know, the Milwaukee area. I'm a Brewer fan and a Packer fan and a Bucks fan. The fact that we've got our own teams now, it's going to be great that you can actually tag onto that and be associated with that, and that's our home team, that not many cities get the opportunity to say that. And now that, like I say, 3 years ago we had nothing. Now we're going to have two professional franchises and a AAA franchise, which is great. And I just think it's a great day.
Steve, I haven't had the opportunity to say this in a few years that I've been helping out on this show with Jonathan and Jeffrey. But finally today, with you on the show, I have a fellow Milwaukee native here, and the show isn't just dominated by Chicago and Boston and Montreal. So I am so thankful.
Exactly right. You need that good, you know, cheese from Wisconsin and the beer. That's right. We got to have some Milwaukee folks here. I agree with you 100%.
Well, and you got the Greek freak, Steve. I mean, he's been putting on a show lately.
It's a good time. I tell you what, I can't be I'm really excited. I can tell you what, I see more paraphernalia, and I was talking to Bill Foley about this. I see more Golden Knights stuff, people wearing T-shirts and hats, and the amount of Raiders stuff. My mom had fallen and broken her leg, you know, right before Christmas, and in her rehab center, they hit a lady with a wheelchair that had a Raiders license plate on it. I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, I told Mark Davis, I go, MD, you can't believe this is going on. He was so excited. It was just, it's really incredible. And the way they've reached out, I mean, the Golden Knights have been in the our safety programs. They did a tour, you know, for street hockey last week, and they were in all of our community centers to expose kids to that. And the Raiders are going to start doing more in our community. They're trying to spread their time between, obviously, Oakland and here, where they're still playing. And you're going to see a lot of presence in this community.
Steve, I had a real quick two-pronged question.
Sure.
First of all, is there any scenario where if the timelines really get hustled along, that Raider Dome can be built for the 2019 season? And B, have you looked at the schedule? Because it looks like in 2023, the Packers are due to visit the Raiders.
Yeah. I didn't know they were coming in 2023. I don't see any way we can get it done by 2019. I mean, I've talked to folks that say if we can build it anywhere, you can build it in Las Vegas. We're used to building big hotels. But I was told that the maximum timeline, or the minimum timeline to get a stadium built is 32 months, which means we have to be ready in by the end of the year, in December, January, at the very, very latest, to have shovels in the ground, basically, to start the stadium construction. They haven't even closed on the property yet. I mean, we don't have a development agreement, and we're, you know, 8 months away from that. That's going to be tough. I'm hearing more and more people saying that they think that's going to have to get pushed back to 2021. And that would just be, I think that would change the entire scenario here. I think that that would bring, then you're 2 years out of Oakland, you know, out of their lease in Oakland. That would bring, if in fact that happened to 2021, that would bring Sam Boyd into play. That they then, the issue with Sam Boyd is that the retrofitting of Sam Boyd, the cost isn't worth it for 1 year. But if you had to do it for 2 or 3 years, then it would become cost effective to do some of the retrofitting that's necessary for Sam Boyd. So I certainly hope that's not the case. I hope we can get it done in time, but there is no time to waste. And I know the Stadium Authority meets this week. They're moving forward on their lease, trying to get this stuff drafted. The Raiders have come in on a regular basis, meeting with our county staff here to talk about some of the situations that are going to transpire as it relates to the Hacienda Russell piece on Polaris there, the traffic, the parking, things that are associated with that. So they're working hard. They're doing everything they possibly can, but like I say, there's a ways to go.
It sounds like that 2 year window is going to creep up on us very quickly. Having to play in Oakland for the next 2 years, knowing that their team is leaving, that's going to be really tough for the locals in Oakland and fans coming out to the game, don't you think?
I think it's going to be extremely tough. I talked to MD about that week before last. I said he doesn't know how they're going to be received. He has no idea how they're going to be received. And the one thing that's different about this situation as opposed to other cities where teams have stayed for a year after they've announced is that Oakland's playing so well. I mean, they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You know, that do you turn your back on them after they're there for so long and they could be playing for the Super Bowl next year or they'd be in contention at least? That's going to be tough. And I've talked to an awful lot of Oakland fans. I mean, I've done a lot of Oakland radio and TV and print media since this all came about and did some call-in stuff. But a lot of the fans are not as upset with the Raiders as people might think. They're upset with the government officials that the fans feel didn't do enough to keep the team there. Now, that's not my fight. I'm not in that. I think that the Raiders made it clear that they needed a new stadium, and that stadium wasn't coming, and the real hardcore fans were not happy about that. Same as happened in San Diego when they had a referendum and it went down in flames to raise the room tax to pay for a new stadium for the Chargers. That didn't happen. The Chargers left. So the real fans aren't mad with the team. They understand that it's a business and that something has to happen, but they're not happy with the situation, and I get that. I remember when the Braves left Milwaukee. I'm old enough to remember that, and that's tough. You don't ever get that back, and that's there's going to be some sore wounds for a while as a result of the Raiders leaving there, but I think a lot of the really good hardcore fans that have followed them from Oakland to LA to Oakland are going to be following them to Las Vegas and be here for 10 days a year for the preseason and the regular season games.
Steve, finally, with all of the goodwill you've garnered, I think, with the Raiders come in here and whatnot, could this at all be a springboard to a certain person's run for a governorship in the next year or so? Could you give our listeners a scoop,
we'll
maybe?
See what happens. I'm looking forward to the opportunity, hopefully be able to run in next year for governor, and we're doing our due diligence right now, and things are looking very good, but we'll probably know something in the next 30 or 45 days. I just really enjoy the opportunity I've had, like I say, to be part of this and to be able to look back on this in 10 years or in 5 years or 20 years and be able to say, hey, look, I was part of this when we actually got the Raiders to come here is just an incredible feeling. And I know there's some people posed about, you know, how the allocation of taxpayer dollars and whatnot, but I tell you what this is going to do for this community in terms of pride, in terms of the jobs to construct this, the tax revenue that we're going to get as a result of the stadium being put here, and is all beneficial. So politics will take care of itself, but for sports fans, like I say, there's no better place to be than in Las Vegas right now when you see everything that's happening.
Commissioner Jonathan Scott, I really want to thank you for your time this afternoon. Hopefully, I think I'm going to see you on Friday evening at the NBA Summer League party.
Yeah, I'm going to toss up the tip-off for the NBA Summer League party, which is going to be great for the kids, which is fun. I mean, it's they've done an awful lot, too, the NBA, what they've come in here, and, you know, the Summer League and how they have the nice thing is the professional leagues have all recognized. For them to stake their brand in Las Vegas says a lot, and they're all reaching out because this is a town that has been starved for sports, and for a while, the only thing we had was golf and, you know, some tennis. But this is, you know, you're getting the team sports in here, which is incredible. And for kids to have an opportunity to experience that is just absolutely incredible. So I'll look for you Friday night.
Clark County Commission Chairman Steve Sisolak. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks,
appreciate
your
time. We'll see you on Friday night. And, boy, what great input, great insight into what's going on here in our community. So we really appreciate Commissioner Sisolak spending a few minutes with us this afternoon. And if you've got any comments or anything, you can certainly drop us a line at news1lasvegas@gmail.com. We're going to talk a little bit about NFL drafts. We only have another minute or so before we wrap this baby up. Any high points, top line stuff on the NFL drafts that you guys can talk about?
They're talking about this draft being one of the best ones in the last 30 or 40 years, comparing it to the 83 draft, which included John Elway, Dan Marino.
Yeah, but not necessarily in quarterbacks, are they?
No, in players in general. Yeah. In general. Listen, there's a lot of talent out there. Is this kid Trubisky from North Carolina? Yeah. Is he the real deal, right, being one and done, even though he redshirted for 2 years? Me, I love the kid from Clemson, Watson.
Me too.
He has shown you at the highest level against Alabama 2 years in a row that he's got it.
Absolutely.
He's got it. Yeah. So if a team like the Browns or the Jets are looking for an arm that they can rely on, I think he's the one.
God, hopefully he doesn't go to Cleveland. Oh.
How about if New England trades with Cleveland and we get Josh Brown and they get Garoppolo?
You had to make this about the Pats, huh? You had to steer it all and cap it off with the Pats.
I can't.
Our friend Clint Holmes is opening at the Golden Nugget. I think it's Wednesdays and Thursday nights tonight. You can see Kelly Clint Holmes at Bootleggers if you're looking for live music. The Tap House on West Charleston has an open mic night. Lots of fun dancing. Steely Dan at the Venetian. That's it for us, everybody. If you like us, share us on Facebook at Jonathan Scott LV. Tune in Friday on Facebook Live for Vegas Nonstop. Eat well, party hard. Peace, love, and happiness.
He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be sure? Whoa.